So it would be easy to ask a question like, which is harder, to be a soldier, an athlete, or a farmer? And you might be quick to answer that, but in reality, there are way too many variables, really, when you think about it. But what if we ask this question? Which is more rewarding? And that'll really make you think, because the truth is one is short-term, one can be as long as you want, and one is your whole life. But that's where we're going the next few days. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, let's jump right into it, shall we? If you want to reach out to me, you can do so through email, tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Also, thank you for listening on 97X, Podbean, Apple Podcast, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. If you need a website, check out websticks.com. Tony Herman, I guarantee it, the coolest cat on the net. Need supplements? Go to wellbuiltsupplements.com. They've got everything. And make sure you save a little money by typing in WellBuilt TDA for the promo code to get 15% off. Finally, Revolution, the number 4fathers.com is where you'll find your David Alliance swag. Men and women, hats, clothes, tops, water bottles, everything. Check it out. It's great. Now, finally, most important, because now we're starting to count down the time. October 30th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. is the Clueless Couples in COVID seminar for the married, engaged, dating, recently divorced. Maybe you want to figure out what's wrong. It's going to be a great time. I've been given little snippets of what we're going to be covering on that day, but I got to be honest with you, I'm most excited about the Q&A at the end. We're going to take a good chunk of time so that everyone there can ask questions in privacy. You can just text them up front. I will be the mediator and we'll go from there. Now, let's jump right into today. We're talking out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul is talking to Timothy, and he lays down some guidelines for Timothy, who's in the ministry, but it's really applicable to all of us who call ourselves followers of Christ. I'm going to read a couple verses. We're not going to cover it all today, but it's pretty interesting. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Now, we're going to get into these three roles, but we got to do a little intro here. First of all, I have one goal in my life, and I really mean it. If you take everything in my life and melt it down to one driving force in my life, it's this: to die empty. Not to die broke. I want to leave a lot of money for my family. I want to die empty. I want to have passed on my faith to others, as many as possible. Most importantly, my family, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, but what I mean is I want to spend my life, my potential, serving Jesus. I don't want to get to heaven and find out there was so much more. And trust me, I still feel like I'm scratching the surface, but I want to push in for everything. And in fact, when I die, I have a specific song called Defender by the 80s metal band Man of War that I want played at my funeral. For real. If you haven't ever heard it, listen to it. It's all over YouTube. And if you have heard it and you're kind of fuzzy, like, why would I want that played? It'll make sense when you realize that I want to pass my life on to those around me. Really, it's this question: who am I multiplying? Who am I making more of as disciples, as followers of Christ? That's our goal. We always say here on the David Alliance, job number one is to influence people towards Jesus, to be more like Jesus. So how do we keep the gospel spreading? How do we keep the church alive and moving forward? It's simple, just multiplying and passing on what you have learned and what you've grown in and where your faith is at. Look, I've been in plenty of churches, I read plenty of books, and they always say this: you know, the Bible just needs fat people. What do they mean? Faithful, available, teachable. True, but you can be faithful, available, and teachable and sit in church the rest of your life and do nothing. These verses specifically say there are a few other things you got to be willing to take on. In fact, he starts out, Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This means to continually be strong. It's in the aorist tense. It means be renewed every day in following God. Why does he start with this? I don't know if you know this or not, but you're going to need it. You are going to need God's grace and strength to do it every day. I get up and I am in need of God's grace and His strength. Sure, I think in the past I maybe coasted some, you know, go a few days without reading and praying and I didn't realize it. But now in today's world, more than ever, I need His grace to be strong. I need His presence to be viable. I need it to be felt. When I was walking into the gym today, I thought, I'm going to see those two Muslim brothers that I'm building a friendship with. And when I speak to them, I want the Holy Spirit to impact them. Even if I'm just saying, hi, how's your business? How are you doing? I want them to know there's something different. I want to influence and pass my faith on to them. Make them hungry. You know what I'm saying? In verse 2, he says, I'm going to set before you. And it literally means, I'm going to put something in front of you that I'm asking you to act on. It's a term that they use in eating a meal. I'm going to set something before you, and I hope you eat it. I hope you take it on. Well, what is he talking about? What does he want you to partake in? He says, join my suffering. Join my suffering. Hey, do you have a spouse that when they smell something bad or taste something bad, the first thing they want to do is have you taste it or smell it? My wife and I, we got into one of the biggest, stupidest fights when we were early on. She's like, this milk is spoiled. Smell it. I'm like, no, I don't want to smell it. I trust it. No, just smell it. I don't want to smell it. Just smell it. It's spoiled. I said, look, I trust you. I married you. I love you. I'm sure it's spoiled. Dump it out. She goes, why won't you just smell it? I mean, the silly things, right? But Paul is saying, look, you want to join me? Smell the milk. Taste the milk. It's going to be hard. There's going to be suffering. But that's why you're going to need God's grace. Look, and today, in the United States, we think we're suffering. No. There are Christians in Afghanistan who are suffering. There are Christians in China who are suffering. There are Christians in India that are suffering. There are Christians in Iran that are suffering. There are Christians all over the world that are suffering. We're not suffering. We're simply uncomfortable, and we're just wussies, so to us, it feels like we're suffering. Look, maybe the biggest suffering I've gone through in the last, I don't know, year, I prayed for people in wheelchairs. They didn't get healed. In fact, I did last week. I'm going to witness to these Muslims and they won't come to Christ. They might even mock me. I'm going to lose my job on account of Jesus. That's happened to me. I'm going to give money that I don't have. I'm going to do things that seem sheerly stupid and just not make sense. And yet I'm asking you to join me. Be a multiplier. Be someone who lives the faith and passes it on. And then Paul says something that's not out of place, but kind of hits you. He says, and these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, where's this going? Paul is simply saying this. You need to hang around with people who have the integrity and the character and the Christian faith that, if it rubs off on you, is a good thing. Look, I am in need of people influencing me as I want to influence others. You know, when my father and I first went hunting, well, the first time we went deer hunting, I was 11 and I just walked through the woods and tried to kick up deer. The second year I was 12, I had a shotgun. I was ready. I was primed. We went out shooting, practiced. I knew I was going to take down a 12-point buck. I just knew it. God loved me. We went out, we hunted the first couple days, and we had one doe tag. So I was shooting anything. I would have shot a dog. I mean, I love dogs. I'm just saying I was so nervous and amped. And so at about 60 yards, this herd of deer, literally, go running through heavy brush. I pulled my shotgun up, and my dad just simply puts his hand on my gun and puts it down and just says, just wait, hold on. And we just stand there. And sure enough, we're on public hunting land. All of a sudden, there's some more boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh, man, they shot all those deer. We're not going to get one now. No, they just scared them back our way. And I could hear him coming back through the brush towards us. And I thought, this time I'm just pulling up and shooting. I'm going to do it so fast, my dad can't say no. Well, this time they're only about 40 yards away. My dad and I both pulled up and shot. And I hit my deer. I shot my deer. I couldn't believe it. I was yelling and screaming. And my dad's like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. They might come back. I was like, what? We don't need any more deer. Why? Who cares if they come back? I shot my doe. And we run up there. And I'm like, Dad, can you believe I shot it? And I shot it in the head. That ought to tell you just how lucky that shot was. God obviously wanted me to get a deer. And I said, can you believe I shot it in the head? And my dad goes, well, he goes, son, honestly, I shot this. I go, no, Dad, you shot that one. And I point like 15 yards away and there's another doe. And he looks and his eyes are bulging out of his head because he's like, we only have one doe permit. Well, we gutted both. We put one on the side of the dirt road, came back a few minutes later. Somebody picked it up. They tagged it. But my dad, being the man of integrity and character, and he would never tell this, he went home. The next day he picked up the phone. He called the DNR. He told him what happened. He said, I feel bad. I probably should have called somebody there. I didn't know how to get a hold of anybody. And the guy reamed him out. Reamed him up and down, cussed him out, but didn't give him a fine, didn't reprimand him, do nothing. And at the end of the call, he said, thanks for the call, Pastor Heckman. My dad never mentioned that he was a pastor. This man knew who he was, knew he was a pastor. You have to know that integrity and that character stands out like a beacon in today's world. That's what I want multiplied in my life. And that's what we want to multiply in other people's lives. Will you join me? I hope so. Garth Heckman at the David Alliance. Thanks for rating the podcast, sharing the podcast, signing up for the conference. And until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.